You know, I was like, okay, only for cooking, you know, like I can do a lot of stuff, guys. You know, like I can do washer machine.
I can do more. Yeah. I can do.
No, man. I don't know what I was.
Que passa? Bem-vindos a mais um Natomcast Internacional. Eu sou Leonardo Romeu, desenhador industrial e gerente de desenho em Tec Eletrodomésticos aqui em Madrid. E hoje falamos com Emilio Morales, Senior User Interface Designer em GE Appliances, Kentucky, Estados Unidos. As I forgot to record our first chat, now let's do the real one. It was rehearsal. Some ensayo. Well, first of all, Emilio, thank you very much to be in Atomcast again. No, after 2 years more or less that we are discussing before, it's a pleasure to have you here again. Actually, it's our first Atomcast in English. We are kind of our first one with a Brazilian and a Mexican guy talking English. Let's try.
I know. We're living at another place right now.
It's strange, that's a little bit strange, but anyway. And as we already talked for sure, that I forgot to record, I would like to ask before starting our some other discussions to know a little bit. How was your path, your journey from Mavi? No, you were in Mexico at that time, and now you are in US in GE, General Electric.
Yeah.
That time was the same group. Today is more or less the same, but you can tell us better information about that, no?
Absolutely. So, as you remember, I was working for Mavi. I was UI UX leader over there. So we have some projects with GE. You remember that we work on that project that
exactly.
Maybe like, it was like 10 years ago here in Louisville as well.
10 years ago, exactly. It was 2013. Yeah, that we
2013, I remember that. I remember, going to snowboarding as well.
Yes, we spent some time in, what's the name of the place in near Kentucky?
Paoli Peaks.
Yes, exactly. Paoli Peaks. Really nice place.
I found another one near Cincinnati that is very, very
good. Oh, yes? Yeah. And this one is also near Cincinnati, right? I don't know. Yeah, it's near Cincinnati also.
I just, returned from Cincinnati like 2 days ago with my parents came to visit.
Ah. By the way, you are in Louisville, no? It's Kentucky.
Louisville, Kentucky.
No? Yeah, it's like three hours from Chicago. 2 hours from Chicago.
Five hours and a half.
Ah. Yeah, I remember that we went to Chicago, but I don't remember how far it was that, but it's not so far.
Yeah, it was like 5 hours. Yeah, so we went to Cincinnati, so I'm living here in Louisville. So returning to the question, so I was working for Mavi, so the NGE gave me the opportunity to, they were like, hey, so we know your work, we know that you have worked with us, so, we want to offer you this job. They were open, they received it wide arms open, so, but it was like a change, it wasn't anymore about industrial design. They told me that, okay, uh-huh. So what about UI UX design for cooking? I was like, okay, only for cooking, I can do a lot of stuff, guys. I can do more. No, man, I don't know what I was talking about. Right now I'm full of job that I'm really happy with that. But, and I'm telling that because, there in Mexico, in Mavi, we have like this, when we were talking about cooking, we were talking only like maybe three main products, I think so, that we were talking about cooktops, ranges, and wall ovens. And that's all, that was a lot, We have three brands in there in Mexico, in Mavi, and now here they present me like, okay, so this is cooking, you remember that, okay. And I was like, okay, so we're talking about six different brands. We're talking about cooktops, ranges, wall ovens, hoods, and small appliances as well. We have mixers, we have like coffee makers, we have toasters, we have a lot of stuff going there. So this is a new challenge for me.
And all the small appliances, they are inside also cooking department, let's say.
There is another like, there is a small appliance apart.
Okay.
Like we have like cooking, clothes care. There is a small appliance, but when we are talking about the brand and the whole cooking experience, UI UX, that's where I enter.
Makes sense.
So we're designing a new control and we want to be in the same style for this brand all around, you know, like the family of the brand, the family of the brand. So we need someone to make this happen. You know, so I'm trying to do that, but to be honest, it's a lot. It's a lot of products and a lot of brands, but I'm really enjoying this work because, you know, like it's different challenge every day. You're like, now you're going to work with Monogram, that is our highest brand, right? Now you're going to work with Profile, that is for more, it's a G Profile, that is for more, you know, technological guys, you know, like tech-savvy guys.
They
were born with that, you know, like with that smartphone on their hand. So like they know everything about Cypher.
The new, let's say the new consumers from G, the young ones, more or less. You would say,
they have the buying power as well, the buying power. So they have like, the money, they have like that decision over there, and they don't, you know, they don't touch a lot their heart about buying something. You know, like all the others is like they're try to explore a lot and make decisions, and these guys just go for it. You know, like okay, I saw this, I can explore very quickly in my smartphone. I make a decision, and I can just buy it from my smartphone as well.
Exactly.
So that's something great, right? I'm working as a UI UX designer at GE. I'm in charge of making like these physical controls and talking about analog controls and also the screen digital controls.
Everything.
And also about like the experience around the Smart HQ that is like our main application right now that manage all the six brands here at GE.
Wow, all the six. And then the six we're talking about GE, GE Profile, G Cafe, that's the more
cafe. Yeah, it's just cafe. It was G Cafe.
Before, it was G Cafe. Now it's just cafe.
Yeah, it was. You know, like, so, there's something strange over here. So when Kayer acquired, you know, like G.
This,
I don't know what happened over there, but they make like this kind of revolution to make again all the brands. You know, like they were like, okay, so guys, we need to redefine all of our brands. So they made like this huge project around every brand. They define the segment, define like the style, define the target, redefine everything. So it was clear as water, you know. So it was easier for designers to design something. And so Cafe, it was GE Cafe. You remember
exactly.
this?
Exactly. Right? I remember it's the red one, no? The logo is like
it was the red one, you know. Like
yes, the red one.
When you see the product, when you saw the product, you know, between this G Cafe, G Profile, and G, to be honest, to me, they were the same. You know, like, but now each one has its own identity.
Like so, his own VBL, no? In the...
Yeah, but, yeah, that I you know, like, their own experience, VBL, identity, etc.
Nice.
So right now,
nice.
Cafe is doing great.
Nice.
From being, you know, like an unknown brand, right now is a very recognized brand. And it is because they found that it was all about customization. You know, like, hey, people want to have a nice kitchen. You know, they want to redesign the kitchen. And you know that this became a trend because of COVID. You know,
people were at their
home. They got nothing to do in a way of saying it. I don't want to be offensive, but they were like, okay, I have a spare time. So I'm going to redesign my kitchen. So I need appliance with these specific brass handles. So Cafe was like, okay, you have brass, you have this other color, you have this other color. So it's really, really nice to have that. You know,
the user is
designing it. Yeah, exactly. Nice. So that's a trend right now. So, and you know, like, so that was a great, you know, like opportunity to do like these different kind of brands. But yeah, that's what I'm doing right now. You know, like
no, and at the same time, I think, of course, but at the same time, as a big industry, you need to optimize, no, in terms of technology. For example, I mean, I don't know, you can tell me, but probably you don't have every piece different from each brand. You need to use usually the same platform, and then more or less the same UI UX control panel, but you need to change some small things, some visual things, in the end user surface, and then you make these differences. That's the challenge, knowing then probably.
Yeah, that's a challenge, but we're following like this modularity. You know, like we're calling this modularity through that. You know, through that in the factory and also for industrial design. We need.
Sure.
We know that we need to save money. This is a business at all, so we need to. But in saving money, we should not sacrifice user experience. That's something That is our motto. You know, we need to do the best thing that we are able to do, but we are not going to be able, we are not going to allow to sacrifice user experience. So when you were talking about that, is that, okay, maybe we can change, you know, like the knobs, right? Uh-huh. So this knob is going to be specifically for cafe. This one is going to be for profile.
Yeah,
or when we're talking about the screen, right? This screen is going to be the same. We are only going to change the assets in the screen. There is going to be the same button, but we're going to change the graphic in the bottom, the same layout, but we're going to change some stuff over there. So we are saving money. And when we're talking about saving money, it's in the process as well. You know, we don't have to redefine everything right now. We just need like this strategy in order to, you know, to get the best for all of our stakeholders. I'm talking about business partners, the user, the consumer, everyone. So we can do that with this modularity that we already have as well.
No, and in the end, as you said, the use of the control panel, for example, is the same. So if you find a way that people could use in a really easy way, you're gonna use the same for all the brands. You don't want to change to make words for your low end. No, doesn't make sense. You just change visual, and some extra features. And so on.
So, great. Yeah, I think that, you know, that there is like this relation between technology. Everyone thinks that technology makes our life easier. And I'm going to say, yes, that's the answer. You know, like technology is aimed to make our life easier. But we need to understand how to use technology in order to make that, right? Because I was saying that, I think that I already repeat this, but every time that I say to someone, hey, we are going to improve this cooktop. Okay, just put a screen over there. And it's like, no, a screen is not always the answer. You know, and I'm going to say that because of, for example, I'm going to retake cafe, right? Cafe is about customization. So maybe people doesn't want a screen over there. They want this really stylized knob, you know, like this brass knob over there that feels great. And that's all what they need. They don't want the screen over their beautiful, you know, kitchen, or maybe vintage screen, vintage kitchen, and there is going to be a screen over there. You know, like
doesn't make sense. Strange. Doesn't make
sense. Doesn't make sense. Or maybe we can make something so that it makes sense. You know, like maybe displaying a vintage clock over there or something.
Okay, so that's different.
You can do it, but it's not always a screen or the last in technology. And I think that people they are understanding that.
No, I think as you said, I fully agree with you. In the end, it's how to balance all these available technology, because as creators we are the engineers love, let's put screens everywhere. I said, okay man, but in the end it's a home appliance. What people are expecting from a home appliance, they're expecting some ease of use way, something robust, some robustness, because they said, okay, a screen, why that? It makes sense. And now, of course, with something that we can discuss with all the IoTs, Internet of Things that we are applying, this connectivity, etc. It's really necessary, or you can use your own screen, you have your phone.
Yeah.
It's cheaper for us, because you don't need to put on the screen, and you have all these temperature problems. No, it's a even more sometimes more expensive screen. It's not easy to put a screen in a hub, for example. No, it's really complicated because you have
and expensive as well.
And expensive. And in the end, as you said, people really need a screen, or it's just a gimmick. No, you say, it's nice, but it really helps or not. No,
it's going to be nice depending on the situation. Though, for example, you know, like if you are trying to show off with your friends or something, so the screen is going to be like, look at my screen. But once you are in a daily basis on your home, you know, like trying to cook an egg or something, using the screen is going to make no sense. But like you're saying, like, hey, if I have my smart HQ and they know that if I wake up at 7 o'clock, so I go to and I move to my kitchen, so that phone is going to detect that I'm moving to my kitchen at that hour, and they're going to say, hey, Emilio, just click here to make your egg. So it's about, you know, like everything is going to be ready to improve the experience. And now the screen makes sense. But as we were saying, maybe it's not the screen. It's just a button that is going to say that my favorite or something.
It's enough. A button.
And then you have all access in your smartphone.
Exactly.
To everything that you need. You can customize everything, you know. So that's the greatness of not having of the correct use of technology, I think. That's a smart home.
No, exactly, for sure. And follow the same idea is something that we how important in the end for to know this kind of thing or to understand this behavior of the users or the stakeholders, as you said. How important is the research process? No, because I know that you know that you do lots of internal research in GA. You have a specific place also, and yep. how do you think it's the importance of that?
So I think that there are different kind of approach in this to tackle this question, right? So we have we need user research to make decisions as a designer and to make decisions as a maybe product planner or the one that is going to put the money over there, right? So they need to validate it. Now I'm going to start with designers, right?
Okay.
Sometimes we need, a really quick test to make a decision that maybe is so simple that you can say that I'm going to make that decision, but you need to validate it, right?
Yes.
With the user. The user is going to be we need to be the advocate of the user. So the user is going to have the final word for that. So for example, we are trying to make a decision, we are making a screen, so the user needs to be able to read it, in a standing position, and they're looking down because it's going to be a cooktop, so they're going to do something like this.
The right position, yes.
Exactly.
Right.
So they're going to have some kind of reflection, so there are going to be a lot involved over there.
Exactly.
So we need to look out about the contrast of the word against, the background, the color, etc. So maybe that sounds very easy, and we can just go over there, drive over there in the same building at GE, and we can go with the team that is called Studio U, that is this research team. They are going to make a prototype or something really quick, and we're going to get the results maybe that same day or the next before that day, tomorrow, let's say tomorrow. And with that information, now I know that I can continue with my design, and I have the specifics to say that, eight of 10 users were really happy with this one. And the others were happy, but not as happy as these guys. But there was one that has trouble. But it is because he's, maybe has some something in their eyes or something.
Yes.
Disability or something.
Yeah, something that doesn't have. But the majority said it's okay, let's say.
Yeah, exactly. So we have now that data to make a decision. And now we can go with that, with the product planner or with the rest of the team and say that, hey, guys, so I make, as a designer, I'm making this decision, but I have this information to validate.
Exactly. You have something behind you say, it's not with 100 people, but you have something that says, okay, it works.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to make that decision as well, to be honest. As a designer, you have that kind of, instinct or learning, you already learn all about that. But sometimes you need this kind of information because there are some decisions that are also very difficult for experienced designers as well.
Yes. But at the same time, you have a space that you can also invite people from, users, clients to go inside and do lots of things. Also, that we discussed the technology that I saw 10 years ago, eye tracking technology that you have inside, that was really nice to check where people are looking, which part of the panel, etc. etc. No.
Yeah, so we have different kind of technology right now. We have this eye tracking technology. We also have 3D right now, virtual reality, how is the other called? That augmentation, or where you wear glasses and you can
augmented,
see
augmented reality.
Augmented reality. Augmented reality. Yeah,
exactly.
Sorry, I forget
augmented.
That.
No, come on.
We have different kind of technologies over there. And also, if we are talking about prototypes, it doesn't have to be the highest, quality prototype over there. It's just enough to make that decision. So we are not spending time building something for making this user test.
Uh-huh.
Now, if we go with a market study, that's another thing because they are going to be high quality prototype. But right now we are talking about user testing. So it's user is to make a decision between maybe A and B. And they should be really, really quick decisions in order to keep making the iterations around the design.
No, it's more about co-creation, to do things faster, and then you can decide small things, and then you are kind of building together, with small decisions. You don't need to show everything, you don't lose time doing
and
the whole proposal.
Yeah, you're going to return some steps, we are going to go back because maybe you found something better, but that's design,
Normal.
Well, you know about that. You know that's something sometimes difficult to explain to someone else that hey, you have a mistake, and no, it wasn't a mistake. You know, it's a finding. So I found another way of doing this. So
exactly.
But yeah, that and this is better than the last one. So we are improving our design. So that's something really good.
No, and people are changing. No, people kind of more and more they are kind of being saving about this kind of technology with the smartphone. And other, of course, we still have elderly people that have some difficulties. Now you need to consider this audience, let's say. But at the same time, and how, let's say, how reliable you think that the user opinion in this kind of research is, you need to consider. You would say, no, I need to consider 100% everything they said, it's a must, or we need to, okay, they are saying something, but they are not in their real environment. No, it's not, they are not inside their kitchen. It's an external place, and people, it's a little bit different, no? And how do you think?
Yeah. So, to be honest, you know, like, we have a great team that is in charge of that, you know, like, so this research team, They told us, you know, like just before that, okay, this guy is not going to be a good option. You know, like he's too nervous or he is like closed right now. He's not open enough to give that their opinion. But these guys know how to filter that all that information to have like this reliable information. And sometimes also we can make another user test. You know, like it's not a specific a user test here at GE, you know, in our in this studio U that is called this building outside GE. That user can go directly over there. So maybe sometimes we can also, with the permission of the client, of the user, we can place a camera at their house. So at the beginning, they are always like that, you know, like looking at
like
the camera.
Big brother. No, first days in
Big brother. But then they get used to the camera and they start feeling more comfortable and they forget totally of the camera.
Nice.
So you can see that difference that they are like slamming their doors, you know, like the bridge door.
The real use.
But sometimes they remember that they got the camera, you know, that so this guy spilled something, you know, and he was like, oh, and he was with the camera, like, oh my God, yeah. And he was, you know, like very careful to return everything. But at the beginning, he just forgot about that.
Exactly.
So we know these exact moments where we can get like this fit that we need. And with that being said, so I totally rely on my team, you know, on the inside team, because they have a great job. They do a great job about giving us these insights or findings in order to make a better decision, decision.
Great. And as far as I understood, you have like an internal research team in the design department. How big is the design department in GE?
So we're talking about, you know, like maybe 20 designers and 10 interns, or maybe, 5 and 5, So this team is, we have in this team industrial designers, we have UI, UX designer, graphic designers, color material and finish designers, and also, well, all the interns, you know, I think that's great, something that, you know, I've never seen like in Mexico, so here the internships are great. I don't know, maybe in Europe it's like the same, but something that I would like to have, you know, like to be a year at a company, learn everything from that company and then go to another company and learn again and, you know, be in the market like that. So
For sure.
I was like that at Mare, you know, but it was only one semester, but these guys
it's different.
You know, like they move to that city just to be there working and everything.
Nice. So in the end, they do the internship before and the university, or they do before and the university. You know how it works? By curiosity, you know, just to...
to be honest, I don't know a lot, but I think that is... So we have like different kind of interns. So we have intern that you return to classes after having like their internship. There are others that are just hired after the...
And you can do after finish internship. The university, you can also do. It's a different one, but I think it's something it's different like here one. In Europe.
And it depends, you know, if they're studying, you know, like for, you know, a bachelor or maybe they're going to a master. I don't know exactly.
Okay.
So
there are different types of... No, but for sure.
I'm not very used, you know, to... school system here. You know, I'm struggling also with my kids.
Yes, I'm still learning here in Europe. It's totally different from Brazil. I'm kind of learning with my son now, so that you know how. But he's still only 6 years, so I need more time to know about university.
Yeah, but they're going to be happy over there.
Yeah, for sure. And what about accessibility, inclusivity for you? How it works for GID? Are you working in this direction? It's a priority, or you try to do, like, let's call the universal design that people, everybody could use your product? How it works for you?
Yeah, so we're working, you know, like, it's a big trend right now. It's one of our main goals for these years as well. So we're talking about inclusive design and accessible design. So, you know, like, we are trying that everyone, regardless of their age, culture, gender, disability, or whatever they got over there, can use or benefit from our products right now. You know, right. So when we're talking about that, maybe the first one that I can get right now in my head, you know, is about language, for example. You know, we are in America, so there is not like this official language. You know, I don't want to get in trouble, but to be honest, there is not an official language. Everyone is going to say that it's English, but actually, no. We have English, we have Spanish, we have a lot of cultures.
Sure.
Appliance should be made like that. And now, if we go with the other ones, not least important, we can have like this disability, right? And we have like this kind of method with, we know that a disability can be, you know, like permanent, temporary, or even situational, right? So
exactly,
you know, like even if you have like, you're trying to control an appliance, for example, let's say a microwave. So if you are like, you know, with low visibility, you need like to squint your eyes in order to see something. So maybe we can have something that is going to be haptic, or maybe the words or the text bigger, or maybe if you have like your with your kid and one arm, so you're going to get one arm less, right? So that's a temporary disability in a way to call it.
But it happens.
Also, it happens a lot, you know, or let's say it's not a kid. You have a spoon that is dirty, or you're doing something else, so you only have like one hand or even one finger to do that. You know, I'm been opening also my microwave even with my elbow, you know, with a lot of stuff over there. So that's something interesting, and we want a G to make this a goal right now, and we are pushing for it. We are making even some kits so that the user, you know, that can get these kits to their home and they can install them directly on the appliance. So they're going to modify their appliance in order to make it more inclusive. So yeah, that's a big goal for GE as well right now.
No, and I think it's more than a movement. Yeah. It's really important to consider. But one thing that do you think there is any kind of wrong way that people usually go? For example, doing a specific oven for blind people. This is not something that you are talking about. No, because I think this is exactly the opposite way, that people doesn't want to have something for blind people. Say, come on, man.
So you're like, I don't know how to say it, but you are like making the statement that they are disabled.
Exactly. Right?
So it's not about that. It's like I was saying, it's to give them all the benefit of using the appliance. So sometimes it can be something so specific that we need to do that. I'm not against that. But also we need to remember that we are talking about design. So we need to focus on the problem, you know?
Yep.
So industrial design, as you know, is iterative. You know, it's a factory doing of everything, you know, 1,000 or of times. So that is not going to work if we make a specific product for a specific person. So we need to figure out how to make this accessible, inclusive, through maybe small details or maybe something that is going to work for all of our stakeholders, including the business. So
no, sure. I think the inclusive is the word. In the end, you are including them in the same package. You are not doing something specifically. Of course, you can do some kits, some specific, some that they can adapt it more. It depends your disability.
Or the disability or...
But something sometimes is just is, no, you make like a Zoom, a tool that you make a Zoom in your inside your panel that helps people that cannot see really well.
Say, you know, like the way you have in your phones, right? So, hey, I cannot see my screen. you can have the option to make it bigger, but you don't need to change the font. You know, like
exactly.
Maybe, you know, if we were talking about years ago, you cannot click the numbers because your finger was too big or something.
Exactly. This
you need really to small. You need to buy a bigger font with bigger
exactly.
keys. So exactly. right now it's not about that. It's how to use technology in the adequate way in order to make more inclusive design around the business.
No, no, perfect. And how and I think another interesting theme is about, of course, this, let's call emerging technologies, and I think voice assistance is something yep. that could probably helps a lot in this case, no? Mainly, of course, not for average yep. users, for sure, but in this mm-hmm. case, it's perfect, no? You don't need anything. You have just the voice assistance and yep, make it exactly. easier.
So, yeah, we are working with that right now. So we have a washer machine that actually do that. You know, like it was great. A challenge at the beginning, you know? Like Byron was working on that, so Dollar Byron. So he was like, okay, so what happens if I tell, you know, like, hey, I need to dry this specific kind of garment, you know? So we were uh-huh. playing around with everything, you know, all that combination that you can get over there. So it yeah. was really strange to see how this, you know, this Alexa, in this case, reacted to, okay, sure. hey, I cannot watch that. You know, like, why are you asking me that? You know, like, so it was strange. But at the end, it was something really great because users were like, hey, Alexa, so I need to wash this specific stain. Uh-huh. In this specific kind of garment, you know, or clothes. So Alexa searched in the internet, you know, in the cloud, and came with a solution for the user. So, hey, I already set this washer machine to this specific cycle with this temperature of water, and so your stain is going to be treated that way that you need it. So that's right. something great, you know, that the user were like, okay, so it's helping me to do that. And this was way before, we're talking about like maybe 2 years ago. And now okay. with everything around AI, you know, like chat, GPT uh-huh. and all that. So that's yeah. crazy, man. We are working with that as well. You know, like we are planning to do something around cooking with that. And it's amazing that you can do everything. I'm talking yes. about recipes. I'm talking about the image. I'm talking about everything can be just customized to whatever the user needs. So that's a future.
Some days ago, I was looking for some videos in YouTube, and I was like a YouTuber yep. that I know that makes some recipes, and he makes a really nice experience with ChatGPT, you know? Yep. He was kind of, he put something in his eyes that he cannot see, and he was trying to get some ingredients, no, in their kitchen, and he picked, I don't know, 5 ingredients, different ones, like tomato yep. sauce, chocolate, pasta, and something else, I don't know, and ask ChatGPT, no, can you give me a recipe with this specific ingredients and make yep. like a pasta with chocolate and something? And in the yep. end, was I said, well, it's not bad. It's really nice.
yeah,
you see,
yeah,
so
yeah,
you yeah. don't need to. I mean, it's strange. It's really strange. But yeah. at the same time, and as you said, how to help people, because nowadays you have a washer, and then, of course, mm-hmm. you need to know which program to use. But yep. I don't know if this textile is like cotton. The stain uh-huh. that I have to clean. I don't know which program. You have 20, yeah. no, 25, I don't know how many. In the end, you need, I have this kind of, or maybe to read the information, no, in your club, and then you have the solution. That's
yeah, exactly.
what it's about.
Yeah, no? so that's about experience, you know. So we are making life easier so that they can take care of more important things, you know, like family or whatever they want, you know, like a hobby or something. So, and it's just in the cloud. So it's not anymore in the washer machine. We are not spending gigabytes of memory in order to give that the instruction. So you can ask your smart HQ to do that, and that is going to send a signal to your washer, and the washer exactly. is going to say, hey, I know what you need. So just put your clothes over there, and I'm going to take care of that, and I'm going to notify you once it's ready. So go do whatever you want.
Go relax, take time with your family, yep. no? Spend time yep, with exactly. your family. No, and the same thing for cooking, no? The recipes, the famous recipes that we have internal, you know, inside an oven or a cooker. And then you say, okay, you have only one recipe, usually from, I don't yep, know, for a roasted chicken. You say, come on, man, if I go to YouTube, I can see, I don't know, 5 different recipes and see yep. which one convinced mm-hmm. me better. Let's say, yeah. And then when you have an oven nowadays, or maybe 20 years ago, would say, okay, one recipe at least is something that would help me. But yeah, now you say, come on, man, yeah. I don't want only one. I need to check. I want mm-hmm. to look a video, no? To see yeah. people doing.
I want to experiment. Yeah. I want to change something, you know. I want to spice up my life right now. You know?
Exactly.
Like something different. That, oh, I have a visit today, so I want to make something different. I want to be entertained here. I want to experiment something new. So, yeah, we need to allow that.
No, no, great. And what about this kind of how you are working now in US? And,
yep,
of course, we know, as we are not working in this area for a long time, we know that's a really different market. It's a really specific market in terms of size, even about no use of the products. No, they are kind of different from, I would say, not of the rest of the world, but the biggest part of the world. No, the Americans are really, and in specific, well, they are really not a big audience.
Tell me.
What's the let's say the challenge, no, to make things for inside US, no, for Americans. And at the same time, you probably have you want to export or to make things for outside America. And how is this? How to deal with that?
I think that, you know, like I have like that same idea before, you know, like working here for 2 years, and now with all these new brands that we got, so I can see like this change. You know, like I was with the idea that a American market is a very robust market. And I think that it is, but only for a small segment. That's the segment that we are teach. You know, as designers, we are taught that, hey, so this is America. This is robust. You know,
yes,
this is strong.
Yes.
And it is at one segment. But now, you know, with Cafe, Monogram, Profile, you can see this different that, hey, I want a more European design here, but
nice.
it's still American, but it's going to be for these 2% of the population in America, or 1%. We have, you know, Monogram is, I think that is less than 1%, you know, like,
yes.
So
yes,
it's really interesting over there. So right now, I think that it's different, but also I agree that here what they are looking is for something more structured. And I'm saying that in the correct word, you know, they want something reliable. They want to have this same washer on the same place, and that work is that washer is supposed to do is going to be done. And that's something that, you know, like it's changing right now because, for example, with GE Profile, more to this tech savvy segment, it's more about like, hey, I want to play with the features. I want to do different kind of stuff. I want to do that. So, yeah. Yeah,
no,
it's a challenge, but it's great.
It's an interesting information. I think they are maybe, of course, as we said, the globalization is here. No, I think they are kind of receiving also these trends from Europe, probably, I don't know exactly, but and maybe they are much more open. Of course, they still want something robust, something that works, that make life simple. But it's interesting. I didn't have this vision of this new U.S. market, let's say. But great.
Yeah. So it's, you know, like it was eye-opening that, right? Because,
yes.
You know, I remember that I said that before coming here, you know, like, okay, so this is going to be a challenge. And it's still a challenge, but once they told me that, okay, you're going to design for this specific brand, and then you're going to change to this one, I can see that difference. And it's great, you know, like to change, like, you know, like your design mind, state of mind, you know, like, okay, I'm designing for something more ergonomic, more stylized with more curvature, etc. And then I'm going to go for more structural angle, you know, like minimalistic or monolithic design. So that's great to be able to make like that switch, you know, like.
Great.
So, yeah. So to be honest, it's great. Yeah.
And what was the biggest challenge for you when you came from Mexico to US in terms of working in a design department, a Mexican one and an American one? What was the biggest challenge? Besides maybe the culture, of course.
I think that, you know, like I was working for Mario for almost 14 years, you know, so I was used to all how the stuff were made over there. So to be honest, at the beginning, I was kind of lost. You know, like I was trying to understand all the products, and then they told me that, hey, just cooking, man. Don't worry about the other ones. And I was like, I want to do everything. You know, I want to make a heater. I want to make that. And they were like, no, man, you are in cooking now. Just relax. You know, like I was. So, you know, like I think that beside language as well, you know, at the beginning, I was really afraid of that. But now, you know, like I'm getting used to that. I'm, you know, like feeling more comfortable. I'm getting more work on that. But I think that in terms of industrial design is to understand that we have a lot of brands here, a lot of segments, and that America, you know, is a, you know, like is a multicultural country. You know, sure. So there are a lot here. You're working also in a multicultural ambient. So I think that that's also something great. You know, I met awesome people. I met, you know, like I, also in Mabe, but here in America, it's like quite way different. You know? And what else? Well, you know, like I miss food. You know, like I really miss food.
Let's see, the spice of food. The spice food, but, the really spice.
Yeah, but to be honest, you know, like my wife, you know, that she's a chef, so I'm really happy that she's here.
No, and let's be honest, for a Mexican, it's not so, I mean, it's not the same one, I know that, but it's kind of easy to find lots of Mexican, in your case, Tex-Mex restaurant.
Yeah.
But it's something that you can, it's different from us. In my case, Brazilian restaurant, you can see some Brazilian restaurant, but it's nothing compared to Mexican around the world.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, to be honest, that, but, you know, returning to work, I think that it's about, like, this work culture, you know, like, here, they are more, like, open to, hey, you need something, so you get it. But you need to design. You know, like, it's, your main goal is to design. So you need, like, this tool to make that design happen, you're going to get it. But with that power came, I don't know, that Spider-Man quote, you know, like with great power comes great responsibility.
Came great responsibility, like yes, exactly. Yeah.
With great power it's like that, you know, like, okay, so you need this, so take it. You know, like Randall was like, okay, you're going to take it. And Chris, that is my boss, also is like the same. You know, hey, what do you need in order to feel comfortable to make your design better? And I was like, okay, I only need one laptop and that's all right now. But then later you're like, hey, I need more and this and that, etc.
No, nice. But yeah. With time, you still get used to it. No, you get comfortable with the team. And what about the future for you? What do you think is the future of UX in terms of home appliance with all these technologies year by year, no, exponential, etc., etc.? Do you think?
Yes. So, you know, like I think that smart home integration, you know, like energy efficiency also. Mm-hmm. That's something. Net zero homes, we are working on that, you know, that so that a home is going to be able to, you know, to produce the energy that they need. So it's going to be equal. So that's something, that's a great trend that we are trying to work right now. Customization and personalization also as well. I think that right now people are like trying to express more their feelings, how they feel through their kitchen. That's really important, through their home. And exactly. one important place of the home is the kitchen. And still design and aesthetics, so design is very valuable. We have a lot of product that looks very similar, so user experience is making a big change. You know, like we were talking about that recipe, you know, I'm going to make this recipe. But that's what I think.
Nice.
Yeah.
Two more questions, really fast for you. It's just the final one that I like to ask everybody. I don't know if I ask you the first time that we have our podcast, but do you have any person that have been like a influence for you in our design area, whatever?
So I think that, you know, like, I forgot his name. So that...
Where he came from, the guy?
He's from Germany.
Dieter Hams.
Dieter Hams. Yeah.
Dieter Hams,
sure. Yeah, you know, like these 10 principles, you know, like they are, I always have like this big chart over there. I love to decide. One of my main goals or dreams is to have like this little radio that he made. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
Like, so I'm looking for that. Oof. Also, Naoto Fukasawa, also I love his design, you know, like all the small CD player and all that, this mini Madison and everything. So I think that both of them, you know, like one from industrial design and the other from your more about experience design, you know, usability and all that. So yeah, these two guys.
Great. And the last one, if you can recommend, I don't know, a book, a podcast or a website that you like to see, to look, to inspire yourself, whatever.
So, you know, like, always my inspiration has been video games, to be honest. I don't have, like, a website right now, but there are some great over there that they try to explain, like, okay, so this game is good because of this, of this, right? And they're talking about the user interaction. So if I need to, you know, to display a menu, I'm going to press this button. So they explain like that. So I usually get like this kind of inspiration from video games. So I need to run. So what I'm going to press? I need to walk. I need to do this specific thing. That, then before we only have like three buttons. And right now we have all this set of buttons and joysticks and everything. And you can do a lot of stuff. And it's so natural that maybe we need to move that kind of stuff to our designs right now. I mean, I'm talking about appliances, so this is risky.
Yeah.
Video game and my appliances, maybe they are not the same, but to be honest, it's
working. You can find some.
It's one of the best source of inspiration for doing UI UX design.
Great. No, man.
Okay.
Perfect. Nice chat. Thank you very much for all your to share your knowledge, expertise, etc. And wish all the luck for you to continue. Yeah. I'm sure that you are thriving and you are still thriving with the American ones to teach them how it works, how things work.
Okay.
And thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Okay, perfect, Leo. So thank you so much for inviting me. And yeah, this is great, you know, like to share this experience and also glad to see you again, Leo. I've seen that you're doing well over there.
The same.
So yeah, keep the pace, right?
Exactly. Okay.